Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message I've entitled The Greater Works and shared with you the episode that is described in the second chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 11, and that was the wedding at Cana. And it says in that first verse, the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And of course, Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the marriage feast. And so to stop just there, it says that this was the beginning of his public ministry. It was the very first miracle that he did. But before that time, remember, he had been baptized by John the Baptist, and John recognized his calling, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then he went into the wilderness and went on a 40-day fast where he was ministered to by angels, and he resisted the temptation of the devil, the three testings, to use his miraculous power to satisfy his own needs. Remember, the devil said after 40 days of no food, you know, if you're hungry, why, just turn those stones into bread. And of course, Jesus successfully endured all three of those temptations, and then he returned back to his ministry that God had called him to in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he would not satisfy his own needs, but this is when his official ministry, if you will, began, and he displayed the miraculous powers that came about 4 months later, basically, at the official beginning of his public ministry in Jerusalem at Passover. And so his power was displayed more privately at this time before his disciples with that wedding feast at Cana. And of all the times and of all the situations that the Lord could have chosen, he chose a wedding feast. And of course, there was a need. They ran out of wine, and that was a very embarrassing situation for the hosts of that feast. It would have been something that would have caused great distress, because this was a time of rejoicing. This was a really big thing in the Jewish society. And of course, God was putting, if you will, a divine seal of approval on the institution of marriage. And is it not fitting for the Lord of life, Jesus, to be present at the most joyous of all human experiences? Because he came to sanctify all of human life. And of course, we see this first miracle, this beginning of the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, his 3 years of ministry. This was basically the dividing point between the old and the new covenant. And it's interesting, as you really consider like an overview of how God was revealing himself to mankind, that there were miracles involve water. The miracles of water with both the old covenant, remember when God had commissioned Moses to bring his people out of Egypt, one of the signs that God was with him, he stretched out his rod and the waters of the Nile were turned into blood, which was a sign of judgment. And there were 10 plagues that afflicted the Egyptians, the last being the death of the firstborn. They both man and animal, and so they were more than willing to see them, you know, go out of Egypt. And Jesus, as he began his ministry, he turned the water in those large water pots, he turned it into wine, and it showed, prefiguring, if you will, the work of Christ's transforming power in the lives of people. If you heard yesterday's broadcast, remember Jesus said, this is the works of God, that you believe on him who he, the Father, has sent. And God, because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe on him would have everlasting life. And so the presence of our God, he loves mankind. He created man in his image. He placed him in a beautiful garden. He didn't know any want or suffering. He was in a place of complete bliss. He had fellowship with God. And the presence of the Lord enriches and glorifies the natural realm that we live in through his divine grace and power. The Word was made flesh. Jesus, who spoke the worlds into existence, the mighty creator of all things, he gives to us abundant life. I don't know about you, the longer I serve the Lord, the more overwhelming, the more staggering is the love of God and what he has done for us. It's more than we can really take in. So anyway, going back to what actually occurred at the wedding, they ran out of wine. And so what does the mother of Jesus, in verse 3, it says, Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus responds, this is what's recorded. In verse 4, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And then the very next verse, his mother says to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, what was going on here? Was he just being a good Jewish boy, obeying his mother? Well, that term woman actually was not a term of harshness, but it was a term or word, if you will, of respect and affection. Remember when Jesus was dying at the cross, he was abandoned by all of his disciples except John. John was with his mother. And remember, he said, woman, behold thy son, referring to John, and John, behold thy mother. In other words, he, in his dying moments, was expressing his love and concern for his mother, that John, the beloved disciple, would take care of her after he went to his father. And at the cross, when he said, behold thy son, to her, it's a translation of an idiom, both in classical Hebrew and Greek. When he says, you know, what have I to do with thee, that it says, why do you involve me? What do you want with me? In other words, what are you wanting me to do? Literally, it means, what is that to me and to you? And in terms of his, that word, that phrase, my hour, it is used 7 times in the Gospel of John, referring to his death. And so the rest of that miracle, he does what his mother asks, and he asks that they would use those 6 water pots of stone, and he said, fill them with water to the brim, and then draw out the contents and bear it to the governor of the feast. And of course, the ruler of the feast says, most people set out the best wine at the beginning, but you'd say the best wine till last. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And so, in terms of the relationship he had with his mother Mary, it was very precious. But remember, 30 years earlier, when Mary was told by the angel Gabriel in Matthew 1:21 that he would save his people, the Messiah, from their sins, well, she was a godly Jewess, and she knew it would take God's lamb, because that was the sacrificial system, in order to be cleansed from sin. A perfect lamb without spot had to be sacrificed, that it would take a lamb, God's lamb, to deliver from sin. And this this verbiage that Jesus used, what is it to me and you, in one sense, it was a rather gentle rebuke, or was marking a significant change in their relationship, because he was saying gently, it was no longer a time for her to exert her mother's authority and the prerogative she had over him as his mother, as he was a child, because now he was entering his divine mission. Mary's maternal authority was coming to an end. Do you remember when he was 12 years old, there's an incident recorded where they would go to the feast in large numbers, and they left Jerusalem just thinking that he was, Jesus at 12 years of age, was with them, with the party, and when they searched for him, he wasn't there. And of course, that was very distressing. They went back, and as they searched for him, they eventually found him in the temple, and he was teaching the priests, and they marveled at his knowledge and his authority as he spoke. But of course, Mary approached him and said, well, why have you dealt with this way? And he went back to with them. When he was well able to teach at 12 years, but he went back with his parents, his earthly, quote, parents, and was subject unto them until the time that his father told him it was time to begin the ministry. So what are the lessons for us? Well, we have to understand that there are times and seasons in our lives, and we should never move in presumption or irreverence. Remember what happened to Uzzah when they were carrying the ark into Jerusalem to prevent the ark from falling? He put forth his hand, and he was struck dead by the Lord. Sometimes familiarity will breed contempt. And so also another lesson is that there's no partiality in the things of God. His family, his relatives, could not expect more than other people as to treatment or working of miracles. And remember in Mark, I'll share that tomorrow, he said, who is my mother? Those that do the works and believe on God and do the works that I have been called to do, that the same works, the greater works you will do. So we'll continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information. If you have prayer needs, I invite you to write and share those needs. I will personally pray for you and send back whatever the Lord gives to be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,